everyone, and welcome to episode number 13 of the Gaelic Athlete Podcast with me, Conor O'Neill from Know Yourself Nutrition. I just wanted to get straight into this week's episode, which is on a very popular topic of caffeine and coffee for GAA players, and you know, whether it's useful, how to use it, are there any downsides to it, etc. So with caffeine being the number one most used drug in the world, coffee is the second most traded commodity worldwide, with about 100,000 metric tons being drank every year. Due to its popularity amongst just about everybody, there is often discussion of coffee in the media, debating back and forth as to whether it is advantageous for health or detrimental. But before we get into that, I think it is worth starting with what caffeine actually does when we consume it. So firstly, adenosine is a neurotransmitter which causes us to become sleepy when it is received by the brain. Adenosine naturally rises as the day goes on, which makes sense since we obviously want to get more tired towards nighttime when we want to go to sleep. Simply put, adenosine in the brain rises throughout the day, making us more tired as the day goes on. As a note, you may have heard me talking about adenosine if you've previously heard me talking about energy production, with adenosine triphosphate, ATP, being known as the energy currency within the body. So anyway, when we consume caffeine, the caffeine, being similar in molecular structure to the adenosine molecules, is received by the same receptors as the adenosine would have been, stopping the adenosine from being received by the brain. This means that the adenosine will not get a chance to tell the brain to become sleepy. Simply put, the caffeine blocks the adenosine's effect from being received by the brain. Therefore, caffeine can be seen as something that helps you avoid the sleepy feeling, which obviously then leads to perception of being more awake. We do, however, also get the added effect of a temporary increase in dopamine production, which is the reason that we get the slight euphoric feeling when we consume caffeine, and perhaps explains why, as the Instagram memes will tell you, people become a little bit more tolerable when we've had our morning cup of coffee. It also seems to improve our cognitive skills, affecting our memory, decision making and reaction times. With consistent caffeine consumption, more adenosine receptors are created in the brain, so that eventually the adenosine is getting through to create that sleepy feeling, even with the caffeine being consumed. This leads to a need for extra caffeine consumption in order to get the same effect that less caffeine used to create. This is what people usually refer to as building up a caffeine tolerance. In terms of benefits and considerations, there are a few different aspects related to coffee that are worth considering. I've divided this discussion up into three topics: coffee for health, coffee for performance, and coffee for body composition. So firstly, health. Coffee, along with most other popular nutrition topics, has gone back and forth in the media in terms of whether it is seen as healthy or unhealthy. Previously, it was thought that coffee consumption was the cause of things like osteoporosis, heart disease, and cancer. However, this has been shown not to be true when other lifestyle choices have been taken into account, as well as when caffeine intake is kept to moderate levels. In fact, regular coffee consumption may be slightly protective of some diseases, including some types of cancer. Caffeine has also been shown to improve mental performance, as well as being correlated with improved mood and depression being lower in people who drink coffee. People are also often concerned with dehydration when it comes to coffee consumption. It is true to say that coffee has a slight diuretic effect on the body, which essentially means it makes you want to urinate. This could be taken to mean that you're excreting extra fluid that you wouldn't have excreted if you hadn't had the coffee, which is true. However, we have also just consumed some extra fluid from the coffee. Turns out that that extra fluid excreted is generally less than the extra fluid we've taken in, leading to a slight net hydrating effect. I would say that this is probably changed a bit when we look at smaller drinks like an espresso, for example, which provides less fluid, but due to the similar caffeine content, probably provides the same diuretic effect as a larger coffee. In this case, I would hazard a guess at saying it might have a slight dehydrating effect, but this can be easily offset by having an extra glass of water. Caffeine has a half-life of about 6 hours, meaning that if we were to consume 100 milligrams of caffeine 6 hours later, there would be 50 milligrams within the body. 6 hours later after that, there would be 25 milligrams, and so on. This will vary with how quickly the individual metabolizes coffee. With this information, we can see that it probably is a good idea to have a coffee cutoff time early in the afternoon, so that there isn't a lot of caffeine in the body when we're trying to wind down and go to sleep. For this reason, it is probably also worth limiting the amount of coffee that you have in a day, since the amount you take in will also have an effect on how much is circulating in the body later in the evening. And as you probably know, sleep is hugely important for overall health. Even if the caffeine is not keeping us awake at night, it can still affect the quality of our sleep. Next, on to coffee and body composition. When it comes to body composition, the first thing we usually want to talk about is calorie content. In this case, a black coffee has very, very few calories, but if we start to add other things to it, such as milk, cream, sugar, etc., the calories can start to add up. For this reason, whether coffee consumption leads to weight gain from a calorie point of view really depends on what other ingredients are being added to it. It is also worth noting that people will often feel the need to consume some sort of confectionery foods such as chocolate or biscuits along with coffee. So if that is the case, then these extras will need to be taken into account. It is also worth mentioning that caffeine is also found in sugary drinks, so these will contain extra calories. On the other hand, coffee does slightly increase the metabolic rate, meaning that you burn slightly more calories in a given time after consumption of caffeine. Caffeine also upregulates fat oxidation, meaning that when we consume coffee, you will burn slightly more fat and energy in the following hours. Now, this does not necessarily mean extra body fat loss. This will still be determined by whether you're in a caloric deficit over a consistent time period or not. Another aspect of coffee that is related to body composition is its effect on appetite. It isn't quite clear what causes the appetite suppressing feeling that a lot of people claim to get, if it does exist. To my knowledge, there's no mechanism in terms of it affecting the hunger or satiety hormones, ghrelin and leptin, so perhaps it is more to do with the feeling of enjoying the taste of a cup of coffee, leading to a decreased desire for other foods. However, a lot of people seem to claim these appetite suppressing effects, and I would include myself in that bracket, so it may be worth noting. This could help make it easier for people to eat less and therefore lose extra weight. Thirdly then is coffee and performance. Obviously, the previously mentioned topics of health and body composition are going to lead to performance benefits. Generally, a healthier body is going to perform better, and a better body composition is usually better for performance with all else equal. But apart from that, there are a few other things to discuss as regards caffeine and sports performance. So earlier I mentioned that caffeine increases the rate of fat oxidation. This has been theorized to improve sporting performance, at least when time to exhaustion is the measure of success. This is thought to be partly due to that if we can increase fat oxidation, i.e. the amount of fat we are using for fuel, we can spare our glycogen or carbohydrate stores within the body, and therefore the carbohydrates can be saved for later in the event. However, in sporting activities where we aren't going to the point of exhaustion, which is most sports, the increase in fat oxidation could also be described as a decrease in the ability to use carbohydrates. However, we know that carbohydrate is a more quickly converted fuel source and therefore more suited to these high intensity types of activities that we see in GAA, for example. Regardless of this, caffeine has still been shown to improve anaerobic performance, which is a big component of GAA sports. So with all this said, this suggests that caffeine's positive effect on performance is related to more than just the proposed glycogen sparing effect. Perhaps it is the central nervous system and hormonal effects that are more important in this case. The mental alertness and reaction time improvement that comes with caffeine consumption could also be a factor in sports, especially those where skill is required. It has also been shown to increase strength, which is obviously good in strength sports, but is also helpful in sports that require an element of gym work. It's also worth considering the mood elevation often experienced with caffeine that could potentially lead to better training performance and therefore better carryover to performance within competition. In terms of practicality, having 100 to 400 milligrams of caffeine, around 1 to 2 cups of coffee, 30 to 60 minutes pre-workout or pre-training or pre-match would be advised. But again, the amount and timing will depend on the individual. There are other ways of consuming caffeine, including the pre-workout formula, caffeine tablets, caffeine gum, energy gels, etc. So in terms of final recommendations, number one, keep caffeine intake to a level that doesn't affect your sleep negatively and have a cut-off time for the same reason. Number two, as much as possible, save coffee consumption for times when it is going to benefit you, as you can build up a tolerance if you consume too much too often. Number three, don't be afraid of coffee consumption. If you enjoy it, if it makes you feel good, if you drink it in sensible amounts, and it doesn't negatively affect your health, body composition, and performance. So that's all on caffeine for this week. Please feel free to ask any questions that you have, whether that's over on social media or via email at knowyourselfnutrition.com. And as always, if you do want to find out more about the coaching program, go to knowyourselfnutrition.com/coaching. So that's all for this week. Again, thank you very much for listening, and I will speak to you again next week.